You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. So come over to the site now. We've got you all set there for week one, the last of the draft rankings. If you still need to draft there, we've got you covered. Still a couple more days there in pre-draft mode. And now we're kind of turning the page here already to the waiver wire in week one. There are some guys you can pick up after the draft, and to help us break down those guys, later in the show we'll have Eric Edholm of Pro Football Weekly, a new weekly segment, weekly waiver wire show here on Tuesday going forward as part of Locked On Fantasy Football. So excited to bring Eric on to the show and have his insights there, and we'll have him week in, week out to help you with those waiver wire. He's very knowledgeable about the draft. We go back to SportingNews.com days early, and he now works for Pro Football Weekly, one of the best analysts of young players out there that you'll find, and very good for our purposes here on this show. We'll start off with a few injury updates for week one, some news notes that you need to know here to get you ready. Now that you've drafted your team or thinking about injuries as you make those tough decisions in your draft, we'll go through that real quickly here before we bring in Eric for some good updates for things you can do at the bottom of your roster. Now, you start with the injuries of quarterback Andrew Luck. Everyone's worried about him with the shoulder and the ability to throw, but he's had this foot injury in the preseason. The Colts are being a little bit more open with his injury this year. It looks like a minor foot injury. He's supposed to make his start with no problems there for Frank Reich in his debut as head coach against the Bengals this week. So Andrew Luck, drafting him pretty highly there in a lot of leagues. I think he has a lot of upside, big time there in this offense. It's going to be a little bit more careful and protect him and get the ball quickly, but they still have the running game in flux and a bad defense, so that's going to set up Andrew Luck here pretty well. Now, Carson Wentz won't be available here for week one. Hasn't been cleared to do everything he needs to do to be out there on a regular basis for the Eagles, so it's Nick Foles starting against Atlanta on Thursday. Now, Nick Foles and this whole offense really didn't do much in that divisional playoff. It was a gritty, low-scoring game there. So if you drafted Wentz, I think you probably drafted an alternative, and you should have, at least earlier in the draft. So with Wentz hurting, I would not plug in Foles this week into this matchup. We mentioned Luck and the backfield situation. Jordan Wilkins looks like the guy that's going to go there as the starter, the rookie, over Nyheim Hines. Christian Michael could see a power back role, goal line short yardage with Robert Turbin suspended there. So Mac, will learn more about Wilkins there and whether he's a worthy guy that to draft earlier and treat him more like a back-end starter in your drafts there. With Sony Michel there, he's got a knee injury, and there's a good chance the rookie, the Patriots' first-round pick, is going to miss the game, and Rex Burkhead is going to suit up against Houston. They've been saving Rex Burkhead, so to speak, and not using him with his own knee injury there in the preseason. So looking like Rex Burkhead is going to start. Jeremy Hill could pilfer, the fellow former Bengal, could pilfer those goal line short yardage looks. He made the team over Mike Gillisley, who had to land there with the Saints. Now, we look at Saquon Barkley. There's a little concern since he made his debut, had that long run for the Giants. We haven't seen anything of him yet with the hamstring there injury. He should be fine there to handle normal workload, which should be a big workload against the Jaguars. Jay Ajayi, if you had questions about his foot injury, he's okay. He's going to play against the Falcons. Corey Clement has been a little bit banged up, so Jay Ajayi could see more work than usual. Darren Sproles, we'll see how they mix him in, and we'll get a better indication of how that Eagles backfield shakes down without LeGarrette Blount here in week one, shortly on Thursday. Josh Gordon is not going to start there. He's got a hamstring issue, but he will be playing. He's not starting, not because of the hamstring issue. It's more because he had that leave of absence during training camp. Antonio Callaway, the rookie, is going to line up there with Jarvis Landry, at least for the first play of the game. But I expect, with the Browns really needing wins, and this is an opportunity, Gordon really lit up the Steelers in the first time he played them in Week 17 last year. I think they're going to want to have Gordon in there as much as possible to try and be a game changer. Tyrell Williams has a foot injury for the Chargers. I don't love this matchup necessarily. The Chargers passing game, I think it'll go a lot through Melvin Gordon. Antonio Gates is back in there. Mike Williams is going to have a bigger role. Keenan Allen, obviously. So Tyrell Williams, a guy that borderline being drafted. I don't really like him this season, but at least he's healthy to play there in week one. Now, the Jermaine Kearse injury, he's got an abdomen issue. He's probably not going to play there in week one, Monday night game. Has an extra day to get ready, but right now I'm looking at Quincy Nunua more behind Robbie Anderson there for the Jets anyway. So Quincy Nunua is a guy that I watch a little bit more to be a big producer there. He can work the slot. He can act like a tight end. He's a big slot receiver. They don't really have viable tight ends there. So Nunua could be a nice security blanket in the end if Sam Darnold can't get the ball deep to Anderson the way that Josh McCown was able to last year. There was a little bit of concern with Antonio Brown, but he's good to go here. He had the practice there on Monday, had a quadriceps issue, but they're being precautionary with him. He's going to be in there against Cleveland. And as your first-round pick, the first wide receiver off the board in 99% of leagues, he is an excellent start this week against the Browns' remade secondary. Now, a tight end, Evan Ingram, there was a concussion issue. He should be cleared to go against Jacksonville, and he could have a big role there with the cornerback matchups being tough with Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Bouye trying to contain Odell Beckham Jr., Sterling Shepard. So in the middle of the field, things could open up for Ingram and be effective. He's a tight end one in fantasy. Delanie Walker, another tight end one. There was a concern with the toe injury there, but he's healthy and he's good. Miami is a very simple matchup for him. I think as Corey Davis still tries to connect better, and Tywan Taylor as well with Marcus Mariota, you'll still see a lot of Walker in the red zone, and I think he has a great chance to score that particular game. Offensively, a couple injuries to note. Donovan Smith, the left tackle for the Bucs, is not looking good here. That opens up the Saints' defense for more sack opportunities. Going to limit the downfield ability there of Ryan Fitzpatrick in that game. Tough road game for the Bucs. Easy to fade a lot of their offense skilled players, especially going downfield this week. Jack Conklin, the Titans running game, is going to miss him a little bit at right tackle, that elite blocking there. Still have plenty of other elite blockers. They should still be fine with Derrick Henry and Deion Lewis against the Dolphins and running there. Defensively, I think you have to look at going out with the Bears. Leonard Floyd should be in there. Khalil Mack is expected to play. So not that you're going to be affected and worry too much about Aaron Rodgers, but I wouldn't be too thrilled about playing anyone in the Green Bay backfield, Jamal Williams included there. I think this defense is going to be a lot better all around. And it's Rodgers, so you're playing him at home. You're playing him against anybody. But with the Bears, just be wary that this defense could make a lot more plays this season. And having Floyd now flanked by Mack, getting a little bit of help in that pass rush is definitely going to help. Now, you look at the Giants, Olivier Vernon making a transition. Could be a big break there as they make the transition to the 3-4. That he's not going to play against Jacksonville, most likely with an ankle injury. So that's going to open things up there, mainly for Leonard Fournette to run wild in that game. And wouldn't still trust too much in the passing game there. And finally, one injury, Chargers, Trevor Williams, is a corner ankle injury. He's going to be in there. He was very good last season with Jason Verrett out, which is the case again here. Casey Hayward on the other side. Don't really love the matchup for the Chiefs passing game, Tyreek Hill. And Sammy Watkins as Patrick Mahomes makes his first real start there in his second year. So all this information is very important in knowing who to pick to do well in these games, as well as who to pick to win these games. And ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. It's usually about what team to bet on this week. You don't always know who's going to win, but you want to play at the right place, and that place is my bookie. And it's just as important as who you're betting on. So you got to go to my bookie. They're your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Lay down some cash there and win big today. My bookie, you win, you get paid there as quickly as possible. They have live in-game betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy players out there, you can even bet on the over-under and how many fantasy points a player will score in each game. And the best news of all is that if you join now, MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's the promo code LOCKEDON to activate this fantastic offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim that bonus. MyBookie, it's simple. You play, you win, you get paid. MyBookie. So joining me now, as promised, here on Weekly Waiver Wire Pickup is Eric Edholm of Pro Football Weekly. How's it going, Eric?
Everything's good, man. I was just thinking about how long it's been we've known each other. It's been a while, so hopefully we can make this thing work. We know our moves a little bit, but I'm sure that'll help lead some good conversation about fantasy football.
Yeah, Eric and I used to work together at Sporting News. He does great work for Pro Football Weekly. You can check him out on Twitter at Eric Edholm, and then you can look at his fine work there at PFW, good insights. And we're going to reach out to him every week to get his inside scoop on some of these waiver wire claims. And the first guy we got to talk about, and maybe look at the situation as well, James Conner with the Steelers. Le'Veon Bell still holding out. James Conner, what do you think of him? It looks like he's improved a little bit all around, got a little leaner, more versatile, where they could plug him in a little bit more easily this season.
Yeah, he was such a good story, as you know, coming out of Pitt, you know, overcoming so much just to get to the league. You know, I mean, you know, for everything from, you know, dealing with cancer to the knee ligament to everything. And, you know, he was such a feel-good story. But it was, to me at least, I didn't think – you know, watching him last year, he looked all that ready to contribute. It looked like he was maybe processing things a little slowly or just not showing the kind of burst that you would hope for in a potential, you know, Le'Veon Bell successor one day. But you're right. Preseason is what it is, but I thought he looked vastly improved, and, you know, he caught a few passes. He had that, what was it, 25-yard touchdown run in the preseason and, you know, averaged a steady 5 yards a carry. And so, yeah, I just feel like he was one of those second year players who showed, you know, measurable growth in year two. And if they have to go to him week one or at some point down the road, more readily, this season, I think the Steelers are in good shape. Obviously he's not Bell, but, you know, for a week to week replacement, he might be pretty darn good.
Yeah, one guy that I actually saw this happen after one of my drafts, and then it changed the way I drafted in another draft, was the 49ers situation with Jerick McKinnon going down there in a weekend practice right before the season. The funny thing is they had the foresight with Jerick McKinnon dealing with another injury, with Matt Breida also having the shoulder injury, that they signed Alfred Morris, good old Alfred Morris, a Mike Shanahan one-time favorite, now joins Kyle Shanahan. Now, they are not hesitating to say that Alfred Morris is going to be their early down back. What do you think of the situation, and are we buying into the sudden resurrection of Alfred Morris?
Yeah, obviously less than ideal to have kind of your, you know, I don't want to say feature back in McKinnon, because I still always had my reservations about how much of a load he could handle. But clearly their X factor back if he had stayed healthy, and, you know, they paid him a pretty hearty salary, I thought, this offseason, maybe a little above market just to get him because they felt like he was such a perfect fit. And so in my mind, neither Morris nor Breida perfectly replace what McKinnon would have given them. But you're right. I mean, you have to switch gears. That's the nature of coaching. And Morris was probably, as good an option as any. Just the familiarity with the system and with Shanahan, who was there with him in Washington, as you know, as his dad's assistant coach. And yeah, I mean, we saw how much he was able to produce as a rookie and later in his career. You know, he might be a pretty good alternative, and we'll see where Breida is health wise, and he's obviously, you know, going to be part of that equation. But Morris is somebody that, you know, I can understand the fantasy buzz on him, especially early in the season, as a pretty good alternative.
I don't know if I would play him against the Vikings in week one, though.
Yep. Yeah, that's a tricky situation. I think, you know, it's going to be tough for Jimmy Garoppolo in the passing game, too, because I think the Vikings are going to know what's coming. They don't have to, you know, sell out to stop Morris or something like that. But, yeah, it's a really tricky deal. I think he's a decent replacement or a good, you know, RB3 for the first week, and then you kind of see where he fits in after that. But yeah, that's such a tough draw. I think the 49ers are gonna have a tough time finding the end zone in that game.
Another team with a messy backfield. This has been messy from the start here with Marlon Mack. Who knows if he's gonna play for the Colts. He's got the hamstring injury. Naeem Hines, there was a lot of hype on him as a rookie, but then Jordan Wilkins kind of passed him on the depth chart, and then yeah, that Robert Turbin suspension, and then good old Kristen Michael shows up again. Jordan Wilkins kind of being drafted pretty highly now, knowing that he could start in week one. What do you like about Wilkins coming out of the draft, and what do you think he can do long term there in Indianapolis?
Yeah, I loved 6.5 yards a carry at Ole Miss. I thought that was, you know, I mean, you look at 100 plus yards against Bama. You know, some really tough SEC defenses on that schedule. I thought he was an impressive player, you know, kind of a nice little blend of burst and power and, you know, holds himself pretty well. And you're right about Hines and the other backs. It was such a morass for a while. We didn't really know what direction they were going. I went to Colts camp for a couple days and none of those guys really stood out to me. I mean, nobody really kind of put their best foot forward, but it was such a small sample size. I didn't try to overvalue any of that stuff, but you know, Kristen Michael, I mean, nine lives and all, but I don't know that I fully trusted him at any point. We know the Turbin suspension was obviously a huge factor in what their plans would be early in the year. Hines seemed to kind of doubt himself in games, you know, kind of shaky hands on kick returns, didn't do anything on the ground as a running back during the games. And Wilkins, I wouldn't say was great either. I think his long run was like 8 or 10 yards, but you know, he at least showed a little burst. He caught a few passes as well. Yeah, I mean, if there's one guy to feel relatively good about, it's him just because of the opportunity. And if you feel like Andrew Luck is going to do anything this season, you probably want a couple of Wilkins shares as well. So, yeah, I mean, week one, Cincinnati, I would think he's not a bad option. I think he's – I'm actually a little surprised he wasn't drafted higher in some fantasy leagues and wasn't – you know, I don't know exactly what percentage he's owned in Vinny, but I feel like people were still a little bit late to get on him.
Yeah, I think some people are just avoiding that Colts backfield right. situation altogether at that point in their drafts, and I think that definitely plays a part of it. Another thing I've noticed in a few drafts I've done is that nobody's taken John Kelly, nobody's taken Chase Edmonds, and both of these guys are pretty clear as rookies. Those backfields kind of cleared out for them that these are the pretty clear-cut handcuffs for Todd Gurley and David Johnson, respectfully. Do you think that is going to play out here in the season? John Kelly pretty much had the whole preseason to himself and dominated.
Yeah, first of all, John Kelly going in round 5 or 6, whatever it was, I thought was ridiculous to begin with. He was one of my favorite players to watch in college football last year, just to watch him kind of barrel through defenses and run with that kind of reckless abandon. And, you know the story, he had to kind of wait behind Jalen Hurd and Alvin Kamara there to get his turn. And so when he did, I mean, I think he made the most of it when he had the opportunity. So, you know, I felt like that was great draft value by the Rams in general. And you know, it's not that Marlon Brown wasn't a capable backup for the Rams last year, but I just feel like Kelly gives them so much more. So I agree, you know, Brown might be second on the depth chart now, but I think if Gurley were to ever go down for a multiple game stretch, you'd see John Kelly featured more than you would Malcolm Brown. So, you know, I absolutely feel like he's the right handcuff there. And you mentioned Edmonds too. I drafted David Johnson in a league. I had the first pick and I traded down a couple spots to make sure I got Johnson and pick up a little value. And I was, you know, I may have liked guys like, you know, Kelly and you know, Corey Grant in Jacksonville as sort of those. And this is a deep league, mind you. This is a 20-team league. I realize that's way outside the norm of what people usually have in their fantasy games. But, yeah, I wanted to make sure I grabbed Edmonds, and I think I even went a round or two earlier than I normally would. But same deal. If Johnson were to go down again, I think Edmonds is your guy. He showed some terrific burst in the preseason, and he was another guy that, when we look back, we'll probably say it was a draft day steal. I think he was, what, round four maybe? But, yeah, it was good value for them as well, I think.
Now, here's a good toss-up question for you. You're near this heart of this rivalry, and these teams will face each other Sunday night, the Bears and the Packers. People are looking at Geronimo Allison, and then they're looking at Anthony Miller. Right now, Allison, I think, is getting a little bumped because of the injury concerns over Randall Cobb, while Anthony Miller, everyone's looking at Mitchell Trubisky and the slot work with Kendall Wright last year, and not 100% sure on Allen Robinson or Taylor Gabriel. Now, which of these guys would you prefer long-term here as a stash on your wide receiver bench?
That's a great, great question, too, because I think you can stack those guys and say to yourself, okay, well, who's got the better quarterback? Obviously, it's Aaron Rodgers. And if Allison is the wide receiver three slash possible wide receiver two, as you pointed out, if Cobb's hurt or if there's something going on with him, even with Jimmy Graham, that opportunity is better. But at the same time, if I had to stack them up just as simply as players, I might say Anthony Miller is the better football player. I mean, I feel like he's got the better long-term value, but is that going to play out as a rookie? A lot of mouths to feed in Chicago, Vinny. I sit there and say, all right, Trey Burton's going to have a role. Allen Robinson's going to have a defined role. You know, there's no question that they're going to get Tariq Cohen some touches in the passing game. But how many? And is that going to hurt Miller's value? I still think he's going to do something. And it wouldn't shock me if he has an early splash this season. Like if he, you know, comes out week one and has a touchdown against the Packers. You know, if he has a couple of plays early in the year where we say, wow, Anthony Miller, get on his case. Now, he could backslide a little bit. There may be weeks where he's only targeted three or four times. But I think I would – this is tough. The week-to-week consistency might be a little bit lacking with Miller, but I think he may have the bigger splash performances and bigger games. So I'm gonna lean a little bit towards Miller on this one. What about you? Are you sold on either guy as a legitimate option?
I like Miller only because I'm not sure about Allen Robinson. I just don't completely trust him. I haven't seen anything too much out of him. And Taylor Gabriel, as much as he's been talked up, we know in Atlanta, still there was a lot of flash, but not necessarily a lot of consistent substance there. So I'm going a little bit Miller. With Allison, I think you could see the touchdowns just being dominated by Adams and Graham there. And
yep.
And the big playability has to be seen with Allison. And, you know, there's three rookies behind him that could push for something here at some point. So yeah, that's where I go with Miller, where I think his role is defined. And we know that Trubisky likes to throw to that position a little bit more. And
yep.
So I think I lean there overall, and I drafted him actually in a 14-team league very late as my wide receiver five, which I feel okay about. I have pretty good starting receivers there. But, one other thing that was came up here is a tight end. And for some reason, I was in a league with the flex play there option, and a lot of people took two tight ends early. So I had one team that had Rob Gronkowski and Jimmy Graham, I think another team with Travis Kelce and Evan Ingram. So that kind of threw off a lot of people's strategy in waiting for a tight end. Now, Eric Ebron is a guy that I think has not been picked up in a lot of leagues, but I feel pretty good about him sticking with that Colts theme. They need some guys to touch the ball, and the receiver situation is not that great.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. I mean, you got T.Y. Hilton and some questions. Maybe Ryan Grant is a, you know, solid option, but I don't think we're going to be talking about him kind of dominating the Colts passing game. And, you know, and Jack Doyle, I mean, I think most fans are savvy enough to know that two tight ends can thrive in the same offense, given the, you know, if it's the right setup and that sort of thing. And there's no reason to think that Jack Doyle can't be the kind of, you know, short area chain mover, the fallback guy, you know, the dump off guy, the 8 yards, you know, on third and six kind of guy. But yeah, I think Ebron absolutely has the chance with it, with a fresh start. That was the biggest thing when I talked to him. He talked about, like, he doesn't have this cloud hanging over him the way he did in Detroit. Now, he dropped a pass the day I was there in practice, and there were the
it same. It wouldn't be Eric Ebron unless he dropped a pass. So
yeah, oh, exactly right. You're gonna get frustrated here and there, I think, and that's part of his makeup, it seems like. But you know, there's just nobody on that roster who has like the physical ability that he does. So when they get closer to the end zone, he's got to be an option. He's got to be one of the top seam guys on the team. I you know, if they're going to see zone defense and to try to keep T.Y. Hilton from going deep, that means Eric Ebron's going to be going down the middle. So, yeah, I do. I also feel pretty good about him. And I think there's some at least interesting names a little bit lower on the totem pole at tight end that you should at least consider.
Yeah, Austin Seferian Jenkins, I think somebody ended up with him as their starter. I don't know if I would feel great about that, but that's what happens when you have people doing crazy stuff with tight ends. And now, speaking of crazy stuff, if there's some people out there in their drafts that took two kickers or did something weird with their last pick and don't really love that last pick, who's a deep guy that you have in mind here that, hey, this guy should be your Mr. Irrelevant. Pick him up instead and put him on the back of your roster.
I'm going to go, Vinny, deep here. And I realize this is going to require a little bit of a leap of faith here and a little bit of trust. But a player that I don't think people are talking about enough. Now, he may not factor into every fantasy league and that sort of thing. But I'm in a couple of deeper leagues. And I'm in a couple of leagues where tight ends are included in the flex, like you were talking about. That 20-team league, I was actually kind of targeting Jacob Hollister in New England. I look at that wide receiver situation and say, sure, Chris Hogan's going to get what he gets. But I really think that if you're playing the Patriots, you have to do everything you can to try to take Rob Gronkowski out of the game. Do whatever it takes. Sell out, double team, that whole thing. You know, bracket him any way possible. And the talk out of camp has been that Hollister, another tight end, different type of tight end, more of the, you know, the role that Aaron Hernandez played a few years back, or I guess you could say, you know, when the Patriots had both Martellus Bennett and Gronk on the field together, it was a short spell, but they did have them there together. You know, kind of that receiving guy, that almost that Jack Doyle role, but really a little bit more of a big wide receiver in a tight end's kind of body or something like that. So Jacob Hollister is somebody that I would keep in mind. Again, I realize it's deep, but for a guy who caught, what, 4 balls last year, they kept him on the roster all year. He was a no-brainer roster spot for them. There was no question he was going to make the team. And if you're trusting Philip Dorsett or Cordarrelle Patterson or one of those other guys to just play some huge role right away, I think we're forgetting about a guy who could be a kind of steady, you know, 4-catch-for-48-yard guy, maybe a touchdown every 3 or 4 weeks. I know that's not going to be a huge value, but look at week one. Houston was terrible against tight ends last year. And I think that's for two teams that know each other very well, Texans and Patriots, coaching staff have, you know, people who know each other. They've faced each other a handful of times in recent years. He could kind of represent a secret weapon. So I wouldn't be shocked if Hollister has a decent week one and ends up being a kind of a semi-popular waiver ad after you know, as we go into week two.
Yeah, there's a reason they only held on to three wide receivers. And
yes.
Plus, he's got a last name that reminds you of the mall and has a twin brother. So
that's right. So, that's like a double whammy right there. You can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, so you've been to a store. Now you can pick him up and have him help you win championships here. So
he's on the discount rack right now. That's why I like him the most. Yes. Yeah.
Well, Eric, thanks again for your input this week. And we'll do this every week. It'll be fun to break down the waiver wire pickups. And I know we'll have a lot more. We know guys are going to go down in week one. We know things are going to change and a lot of busts are going to happen. So we're glad to have you along the way and your insights straight from Pro Football Weekly.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it, Vinny. I'll talk to you next week and hopefully have some good answers for people out there.
All right, thanks.
In addition to the upgrades here for Locked On Fantasy Football. I'm pleased to announce that Locked On Network is also expanding with some great college show. Coming this week, you got Locked On Wolverines, Locked On Buckeyes if you're a Big Ten fan. You got Locked On Seminoles out of the ACC. We've already got Locked On Ducks, Oregon, Nittany Lions, Bears of Baylor, the Crimson Tide of Alabama, the Wildcats of Kentucky, the Razorbacks of Arkansas, the Tennessee Volunteers, and the BYU Cougars. So find your favorite college show there. It's very easy to do on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts to download this great content and be up to date with your team on campus all throughout the season on a daily, weekly basis. Now, we will close the show here with some thoughts on things that to keep in mind. We talked about the handcuffing feature there. I think you have to know your handcuffs there. And we mentioned there with Eric that John Kelly and Chase Edmonds are excellent handcuffs. There's been a little question about who's the handcuff with the Jaguars behind Leonard Fournette. I really look at it as T.J. Yeldon still more than Corey Grant. Grant's going to be maybe a cog that goes into the offense occasionally. Don't read in too much to the playoff game. That was part of the matchup. Remember, you're looking at Yeldon not as an independent entity there. You're looking at if something were to happen to Fournette, Yeldon is going to have to touch the ball out because Corey Grant is not a guy that's going to just line up and be a big factor with touches in the running game. So I think you have to look at him there. James Conner definitely as the draft pick there. I think if you go to Ezekiel Elliott, as they waived Bo Scarborough, the answer has to be Rod Smith here, because we know Alfred Morris, as we mentioned, is in San Francisco running as the early down starter there. So there's the guys you need to know and be on top of those handcuffs. With the Chargers, Melvin Gordon, you got to get Austin Eckler. With the Chiefs behind Kareem Hunt, with Spencer Ware healthy, he's the guy to go to. And Saquon Barkley, this one is a tough one. People have been looking at Jonathan Stewart, but I think to me Wayne Gallman is the better way to go as a guy that can see the ball often there in the Giants' backfield. Other than that, when you get down, you have some committee approaches and change of pace. With Christian McCaffrey, it's pretty evident that C.J. Anderson is going to be a guy there. And Kenny Drake, a little tougher with Frank Gore and Kalen Ballage there. So really it's those top backs that you practice the handcuffing on. And if you haven't done that, or you're about to draft and have to make that consideration late, remember that player behind your A player is going to have a lot more value than taking a flyer and somebody that may not even see the field, a rookie that's a deep sleeper. You might as well go to someone with direct impact and effect to help your team win. So there you have it. There's another edition of Locked On Fantasy Football in the books. We'll turn our attention here to the week one matchups to close the week here on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So looking forward to that as we break things down further and get you the best insight out there. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time.